Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, with John and Ms. J. And I'll tell you, we got a really good show for you guys today. Ms. Patrice Smith and her daughters, and her daughters are authors. But before I go any farther with this, I'm going to ask Ms. J if she would take the pleasure on bringing Ms. Smith on.
Absolutely. First of all, Odie, we'd like to ask you to forgive us, it's not us, but there's something going on with Blog Talk, so we might have a slight echo, so please forgive us about the show, but we're going to move forward with this show. I am so very excited to have these four young authors on today, and their mom, and the basis of their story is really great. But before we get started, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Patrice and let her introduce her daughters, or they can introduce themselves. And then we're going to jump into this great book that they wrote, The Struggle, Mom in the Summertime Blues. Patrice?
All right. Well, my name is Patrice Smith. I am a mom of four, a wife, and an author myself. And I have four daughters, and we all collaborated, and we wrote the first book, which is The Struggle, Mom in the Summertime Blues, and also a second book, The Struggle, Four Girls in One Bathroom. And so I'll just pass it to each one of my daughters. We'll start with the oldest, and then we'll just work our way down, and I'll just let each one of them introduce themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hi, my name is Donna Smith. I'm 16, and I'm in the 11th grade.
Hello, my name is Shannon Smith. I'm 15, and I'm in the 9th grade.
Hello, my name is Jordy Smith. I am 13 and in the 7th grade.
Hello, my name is Jay Smith. I am 12 and I'm in the 6th grade.
All right.
Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about we have two books, and we're going to talk about both of them. But I really enjoyed the struggle with the mom and the Summertime Blues because I remember my daughter.
The first thing that made us want to write the book was our mom because she made us write over the summer, and when she received our writing, she thought it was so funny that she decided that other people need to see this and relate to it or even just get a good laugh out of it.
Yeah, it's a good laugh. It's a good laugh. I can relate and laugh. It's really good. So who started off? So how did you guys put it together? Who, what, you know, like, Who started it, or let's talk about how you guys actually got together and put the whole thought into a book.
Well, like Donna was saying, she said that I made them do work over the summer, and they would give me their writings, and I was like, this is pretty good. And so initially it was just an assignment, and so I read it, everybody gave me their stuff, and so after a while, I was like, this could probably be a book because I had already put a book together previously as a cookbook. But since I had already self-published, I was like, I think this could be a book. And so then I mentioned it to the girls. I was like, I think we can put a book together with what you guys gave me. We weren't quite finished. It wasn't a complete book. But I just saw that was something that could happen. And so after that, it became, okay, now I need you guys to send me writings and submissions so that we can actually finish a book. And so at first, the end result was each girl got three chapters, and we wrote about, you know, basically the whole summer and all of that. But at first, I didn't really know what was happening until their writings, and it looked like they kept complaining about me. And so I was like, okay, this looks like the title here. And so that's kind of how that went about. And when they wrote, one thing that they did that I thought would keep the writing not sounding the same because they were talking about their same experiences, I told them to send me the writing and not share it with their sister. You know, so they wrote kind of to themselves, and then they would send it to me. And so I was the only one, so I acted as the editor. I was the only one that saw what they, you know, what they gave. And then I started putting things together. Now, there are times where they wrote something, but it didn't necessarily fit with the character. And so, for instance, Charity may have wrote something for Crystal, but it didn't really fit. And so we may have put it under Donna. Or Donna's writing, which was the character Diamond. And so a few times we had to do that. But for the most part, the writing for the character went in their chapters, and that's pretty much how it all kind of came together. And it just came together pretty easily because it was, you know, their beginning of the summer to the end of the summer. So it wasn't a whole lot of things that was kind of far-fetched because they had a timeline. They already had something that they was motivated to write about, which was me. And so those two things, it was pretty easy. And they were like, okay, well, I'm going to write about this. And then, and then of course, they did write about each other, their relationship. And I told them, I said, you're not going to get in trouble. You write whatever you want. I didn't put any restrictions on them. And so everything was just kind of whatever you felt like, you know, you wanted to say, that's what they did. And so, like I said, it really came together pretty easily because they, you know, they had their timeline and they just, you know, wrote kind of what they felt and their lives. Like I said, some things are made up. Some things aren't from their own personal experiences, but it just kind of, we needed it to make it fit so it was cohesive and, you know, you had a beginning, middle, end, that kind of thing. But for the most part, you know, they wrote from their personal experiences and then some things they made up to, you know, make it funny. And they're readers. They all love to read. So I was like, well, if you love to read, you should be able to write something that you want to read about. And so that was the other thing. And the last thing, as far as how we or why we did it, I asked them, I said, have you guys or do you guys read? Because when they were little, I used to pick all their books from the library. We used to go to the library all the time. But then as they got older, they picked their own books. And so then I asked them, I said, do you guys get a lot of books from the library that have black characters or characters that are, the main characters are black kids? And they was like, well, they thought about it, and then they said, well, sometimes we do. And I said, well, what are the stories about? And so they described the different stories that they've read with the characters being African American. And I was like, well, are there ever any funny stories that are chapter books? I mean, because I know there are a lot of picture books now in the market you know, that's really focusing in on African American children, which are great, but there weren't a lot of chapter books. And so I was like, really? And so when I asked them that, that's when I was definitely motivated to write a book. And I was like, you know, you guys need to see, you know, yourselves in chapter books too. And so that was why we went this direction.
Now, this question is for the girls. How did you feel?
Well, at first, I wasn't really sure about the idea of writing a book itself because I was like, kids writing a book? Who does that for their summer vacation or over the summer for fun? But once we started to all contribute to the book, I saw that it could really become something that could motivate kids to write their own books.
Another thing I noticed,
Patrice.
Yeah, I I really commend you for that. And because it's so many young kids, you know, that has the ability and you know, to do things, you know, like write books and things like that, but they never get the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's what I like about you, you know. But it's something I want to ask one of the girls. Okay, and you pick either one. I want them to tell the audience a little bit about the struggle.
My name is Faith. About this book of the struggle, like, when we were first writing the book, we were trying to figure out how we were going to do it, like, how it would, like, you know, how we would sell it, how we were going to publish it, everything, all the criteria, like how we would get out there and how people would hear about it. And one of the things that we need to do was deciding whether or not to have pictures. And so, whether or not to have pictures. Because we were not really sure if we wanted to have, like, what age groups to write it, like, for the book to be focused about on. So we're going to do, like, 12 to, like, 8-year-olds or, like, older kids. So we were trying to figure out which we should focus on. So that was a little bit of a little struggle. So we just, like, see, like, what we were interested in or, like, what we would want to read. And so we were just, like, let's do younger kids to make it easier because usually, like, the older kids, like, it's harder to write. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have.
And I want to go back. I wanted to go back to one thing that you mentioned a little bit earlier about kids, and I really feel strongly about it. And I do appreciate that you gave me a few minutes ago, but about kids and getting the opportunity to do things, and that's something that I feel strongly about, with especially with my girls and the kids that I'm around. I think it's important that you show them the different things that are available to them. Of course, I can't show them every possible career that they could do. I can't, you know, this is not, it's not possible. But I can, you know, introduce them or show them just sometimes being able to be around different things that, you know, that they might like, you know. And so during the course of writing the book, you know, I have some that, okay, I may write when I become an adult, and then I have some I will absolutely not write when I'm an adult. And so I'm not upset about either one of those things because it shows you a better picture of what you like to do versus what you don't like to do. I found during the course of this, for instance, that Shannon and Faith are very good narrators. And I wouldn't have known that had we not, you know, narrated the book as well. And so, you know, their strengths and the different things that they can do very well, I'm finding out during the course of this book. And also the other things that we do, other activities. Charity is very good at math, very good at playing the flute. I mean, they all have different gifts and things of that nature. And so when we do different activities or when we look at other careers, sometimes those gifts and strengths and all of that comes out. You know, Faith, she's really good at drawing, and so she was able to draw a lot on the second book. And so just different things have come up that, and it's also beginning to make them think about their future, and they don't feel like they have to wait until they're an adult to pursue different things. Like Charity, she's constantly looking at colleges now, and she's in the seventh grade, and that's what she's doing now. She's looking at colleges, and she's serious about it, you know, and she's thinking about what she wants to do, and she's seriously thinking about the different details of it at her age. I mean, of course, I have Donald, who is a junior, who's a junior who is, you know, of course she should be thinking of that, and she is, but it's just because of the different activities, it makes them think about their future. It makes them think about their strengths and weaknesses and the things that they like, their passions, all of that. And it really gives them a better taste of what's out there and the things that they can do for their futures.
Oh,
that is so true.
Yes.
So
you know,
true.
I wanted to tell the audience. I apologize for Blog Talk Radio. For some reason, we're getting a double. You know, a delay on the radio station. And it's probably aggravating to some of the listeners. I don't really know what happened, but it's kind of aggravating for me too. So just bear with us, we'll get through it. Hopefully they get it fixed. So just bear with us. But anyway, we have a caller. And I guess they want to elaborate on something or ask you a question, Ms. Patrice.
All right.
Okay, let us let him in.
Hey, John, why are you letting me in?
Caller, state your name.
Tommy Cole. Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's going on? I want you to commend your guest there, and I got a question also to him. All you guys wrote into this one book, did y'all sit down together and write different parts of the chapters of the book, or did y'all do it separately? And did it take your whole summer where you guys really didn't have any playtime?
Well, we honestly wrote the book separately because some of the things that we said about each other, my mom didn't want us to see them and, like, start arguing, like, why did she say that about me? She shouldn't be talking about me. Why is she talking about me bad in the book? My mom just had us write separately and then just turn all the writings into her so she could look at them and cut out parts or maybe make suggestions. And we did have free time, but it's kind of funny because not only was our mom during the summer, she also turned into kind of our boss. And we had deadlines. She gave us deadlines. And she gave us due dates and told us when things were due. And she knew if you didn't turn this writing submission in, that there was going to be consequences. So she became our boss, too. So I started calling her that.
Yeah, also, I was going to add on.
They read them. They did write separately, but then I put everything together, and then I showed them the whole thing. And then from there, they were able to read the whole thing together, and they would make comments about the whole book and start saying. And then that's how we edited it together. Once I had all the submissions, so that you know it could be one big thing, and then from there we just worked as a group.
Oh, okay. I can't believe you guys wrote about me like that.
Right. Yes, that happened a lot. Yeah. And so yeah, okay, don't argue about it. Just let me know.
Yeah, but I like to commend you too, mother, because that is a great job, and you definitely instill in your kids that all things are possible. So I know, therefore, now they know they can do anything in this world if they put their minds to it.
That's right.
That's true,
right.
Tom. That's true,
Tom. You know, like I know a couple people, you know, young people, you know, with their life experience, and also like you was saying you saying that your daughters are artists, you know, they can draw real good and things. I know a young man that's he's an artist. He can draw. He can. I mean, he can write. You know, and matter of fact, listening in, I can see the board. And I hope this interview with you guys will inspire him. You know, to maybe write a book.
Oh yeah, and I hope it inspires kids to do a bunch of things, not just you know write, but I hope it inspires kids to just stop and go, okay, you know what? That thing that I want to do, I don't have to wait until I'm 18. I can do it now.
Right.
Donna, she loves to write music, and she writes songs all the time, and that's what she loves to do. And I told her, I said, not only, you know, writing the book is a good thing, this could also open the door to the thing that you want to do. This could be, you know, it gives you an opportunity, for instance, Charity loves math, and she wants. She says she wants to be a neuroscientist, and so this could open neurosurgeon. This could open the door for her to, you know, medical school, what have you. And so it's not necessarily that you have to, you know, continue being an author or whatever, but this can open a door for your specific passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The self-esteem building.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
and, it's a self-esteem builder.
Yes.
And another thing too, you know, this is also that it can open the door for them to do some public speaking.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that happens a lot with selling the book. They have to, you know, talk to people, and they go up and, you know, they do that a lot, and it's real important. There's so many components to, you know, the book selling and all of that, but there's just so many components to doing all the different things. And the main thing that I thought was really important was for us to start something and finish it. Because a lot of times people will start things, but they won't ever finish. They won't ever actually go out and do the thing that they set out to do. And so it was important for me for them to see this is how you start something. You have an idea. You start it. You work toward it, you know. It was a lot of different steps, you know, even making the cover, a lot of different steps until you have your finished product.
Right.
Great lesson.
That is so beautiful. I love it because there's so many young people that are so talented. And they never get the opportunity, you know, to really
put their talent
where it's supposed to be. You know, they have a lot of obstacles out there. They have a lot of people in their ear. You know, if I was you, I would do it like this. But you taking control of your children and guiding them the right way is the best way.
Yeah, and one point you made that was really, 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 really,
like they looked at it as something that we couldn't do. Like when my friends found out, they were like, oh my gosh, that's so cool, you guys wrote a book. And then they'll say stuff like, oh, I've always thought about writing a book. And one thing that I learned was that's not the only thing they can do is think about it. They can actually do it. And now that I've done it,
that's right. That's
when other
right.
people say things like that, I just think, well, go ahead and do it, because there's nothing really stopping you. Because if I can write a book and publish it at 16, then you can do whatever you want to do.
That's right. That's right. That's great advice. Great advice.
Right. Right. You know, and well, at 16 years old, writing a book is a very, that's an accomplishment, actually. I mean, you have need.
Yeah, you know, as we grow up, we have a lot of fear. Fear that we can't do this. Fear that we're not smart enough. Fear that we're not old enough. Or whatever the fear comes from. But the fact that you put all that aside, you listen to your mom, and you got a great accomplishment. Like, if you never write another book, anybody in your, you know, even if you never write another book, you will always have these two books.
Right.
And you always have these two accomplishments.
Right. That's one of the things my mom tried to instill in us, because she was saying, we wrote this book. Like, this book could help us get places. Like, I put this in my resume, and when I go to college soon, I'm going to go ahead and put on there that I wrote a book, because that's obviously going to help me in the near future. Just having that just puts me ahead of so much and gets me ready for so much, because just writing this book has already got me exposed to public speaking, editing, language arts, audio, talking on audio. Even this is getting me ready for so much that I'll have to do in life, that sometimes I did feel like it was boring, or why are we doing this? Why is my mom making me write over the summer? Among other things, like doing math and science. And my parents are so hard about me on my grades, and sometimes I'll get upset about it, but really, in reality, it's really helping me in the future, because once I get older, I won't have anybody keeping me responsible for things like that but myself.
That's right. Great point, because she's preparing for the world. And, you know, there's certain things that you're going to have to learn on your own. But I think as parents, we try to prepare you as much as we can. So this opportunity that she's giving you guys is a great way to prepare you in so many different ways.
It does.
You're right.
So let's talk about your other book. Talk about the struggle.
You mean our second book, Four Girls in One Bathroom?
Yes, let's talk about that a little bit.
Four Girls in One Bathroom, after the first book, we decided to write a second book because we wanted to continue the series, and a lot of people thought the first book was so good and everything. Everyone just like, you should write a second book. So we decided to do the same thing for the first book with the same characters, except during the school year this time instead of during the summer. And for Four Girls in One Bathroom, we're just like, let's make it like relatable. Like, how would it be if four people, especially girls, sharing one bathroom? All the things that would happen, all the arguments, different things that are, you know, that are relatable to some people and funny. So that's how the title Four Girls in One Bathroom came about, which Donna came up with. And
That's pretty interesting. Right there, you know, four girls in one bathroom.
Yeah, and also with the book, like Faith was saying, it continued on from the summer. It talked about the school year, but it's not just about what the title says. It's a lot of other things. It's things that they would experience while at school, you know, different things. For the most part, the book is a humorous book, but there are some things that we kind of sneak in to teach life lessons, but we do it kind of in a funny way so that kids don't necessarily feel like they're being preach to. And so there are things in here about, you know, being patient, working hard for things, not bullying other kids, being kind, things like that. So there are some messages that we kind of weaved in the story, but we wanted it to be funny first. And so that was the main point, because we wanted other kids or kids to like it, but we also wanted it to be something where they're learning as they're reading. And also, you know, there are a lot of vocabulary words, because I know that's something as a parent that I always thought about when I got books for my kids. I wanted them to be able to learn new words. And so that was another thing that we made sure in the book, that there was a lot of challenging vocabulary, but not so much that the 8 to 13-year-olds would struggle, because we would use context clues so that they would, even if it was a new word for them, and they would at least be able to know what it meant because of the context. So it was a lot of different things in the book that we put in there, but like I said, the first thing was for it to be funny, and then secondly, we wanted it to be other things, so that, you know, you didn't just walk away laughing, you also learned something as well.
Right.
That's very clever.
I just wanted to piggyback off my mom talking about making it funny, because this book had become such an important part of our lives that we included things like, even day-to-day situations, we would come in the house, my mom would be like, how was your day at school? And she would have a notebook out writing things down that we would say that she thought was funny. It got to the point where actually in the book, I'm pretty sure there's a section where I actually included one of the papers I wrote for school because my mom thought it was funny, and I was basing it off the idea of me not being the only child anymore and me being the oldest of three other younger sisters took away my rights and liberty as a citizen of the United States. And it was supposed to be funny, and it was, and my teacher thought it was funny too. So it was basically a paper saying, give me liberty or give me in my own room, and I'm still fighting for that. But
it was
one of the things that we included in there, because this book has become basically almost another part of our family, because we just wanted to include so much in there so other people could relate and just laugh with us.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't read the second one, but the first book is really funny. Really funny.
Okay, well, we have another caller. Either want to elaborate on something or ask you guys a question. Let's let him in. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Andrew Finch. And I'm calling from Longview, Texas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Fine, thank you.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was wanting to say, man, I'm just listening, just amazed at the inspiration y'all have of writing. Since a lot of black youth today, many older people don't read. But I guess I say the best way to encourage people to read is to let them know, is to get into writing books. And that gets that motivate young people to want to read books, because they can relate to somebody their age writing.
Yeah, it's inspiring.
And so I just want to say to the moms and everything that they're doing a great job.
Thank you, and continue to do what y'all doing.
In the near future, I'm pretty sure y'all gonna continue to write as y'all get older, and maybe do other things as well with your book.
Thank you. That's one of the things that we did see with our books, that we were the only chapter books that were about people of color, and you know there are other books that do feature people of color, but they weren't positive. They did talk about real issues, and they were very good. However, they didn't focus on the positive things that other books focused on other races that talked about. And we just wanted to create variety in literature and give someone other people things to read and actually inspire other people to write their own books if they just felt like they had something to say to the world.
Right. And actually,
right.
She was saying, when she was saying about the books not being positive, she was basically talking about, because we had a lot of conversations about it, about the books not necessarily being about, you know, hard times or slavery or whatever, which are important subjects, but African American people, we are so much more than that. And,
right.
You know,
yeah.
I wanted, you know, African-American children especially to see that, you know, we're funny too. You know, we don't have to always be in a book when it's something sad or, you know, right. Something, a very heavy topic. Those books are important and those books are needed and we need those books. But we also need books that are just simply hilarious. You know, we need to see
right.
that's
right.
us too.
Yes.
And so that was very important to us in this process.
Yeah, that's why I was telling her. So I think you know, for the movies, we lacked that in the movies as well. And I think
that's like
read the Black Panther did so well in the movie format because was different. You know, Black people different. Black people looked up how they identify themselves. So I'm glad y'all doing the book like that. And that's why I said I hope to transfer from book to, you know, maybe film or something.
There's more.
That is only problems. People need a better outlook.
Need a better
different perspective. Than to hear the same old message of slavery and he says more.
Introducing the world. You understand? To another, to see us in another light. You know, to see your young African American and your African American spirit in a different way. And you're so right about that. Georgia, the people that write books, they write about, you know, the struggles that we have in the communities. They write about a lot of things that's going on. But what about the human side of us, you know? Like, we funny, you know, we like to laugh.
Right.
You know, it's a thing like that. And it's letting the world see another side of us.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so important, Patrice Smith. That is so important to where so you can bring that out.
Bring that out.
Your girls. So the world can actually see it. And that's very important.
We just wanted to write a book about something that everyone could relate to other than being about the subject being sad or, you know, disappointing or anything that, you know, has anything that someone feel uncomfortable when someone's talking about it. So just something funny that kids can relate to instead of it always being, like, depressing and, like, just there goes another day. Just, like.
And we also wanted people like us, people of color, to see themselves in our book and relate to them like we could when we were younger. And just give them, you know, a chance to see themselves not being sad and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Great idea, girls. Great idea. Great idea.
I mean,
you know, I think it's to see themselves in books. You know, you guys are one of the authors that donated a book. And I actually sent them to a small place in Texas. And the gentleman that's running the book library for his area, he said he took the books home because his daughter did not see, had never seen so many books with black characters.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted her to read them first. So it's really important that you put these type of books out. So because they're in great need.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's a big need, and actually that was so positive of comparison when he mentioned a few minutes ago about the Black Panther. When I saw that movie, and I think that's what everyone resonated why it was such a big blockbuster, it wasn't necessarily that, you know, this was a movie that no one had ever seen. I mean, we've seen a lot of Marvel. We've seen a lot of just different things on the big screen. We've seen that. But
right.
what we hadn't
right.
seen, we hadn't seen all black casts, all, you know, the positive messages. We hadn't seen all that in one thing, you know. That was just
yes.
so impressive, you know, so many topics that were covered that, you know, that you could be proud of, and you walked out of the movie smiling and feeling empowered and inspired, and, you know, your kids, they're with you, and you know, you feel good about them, you know, watching it, and they, you know, took away different things from it and had, you know, felt like they could do something in their future, you know. So, you know, we got a lot of little black girls who looked up to the, you know, the young girl in there who was the scientist, you know, and she made it look cool, you know, and that's what we have to show our kids, you know, because they see so many things that's one-sided. They never get to see the full picture of things sometimes, and that's what Black Panther did. You know, this was a fictional story, and, you know, we all understand that, but it was so much more than that, and that's what a lot of people don't necessarily understand. But that's what it was, and like I said, that's what, you know, we wanted to do. We wanted to, of course, it's not Black Panther, but, you know, we wanted to do something, just our small little part, you know, where we could inspire, where we could, you know, if somebody reads our book and walks away going, hey, you know what, I'm going to do XYZ tomorrow. These girls, they started when they were as young as, you know, 10 with this project. If they can start, I can, you know. And I will be honest with the book. For the most part, it was mostly their writing, because, to be honest, there was a lot of stuff in there that I would have never written, you know, because I'm not a kid anymore, you know. And so I don't think like that anymore. And so, you know, I kind of give them some nudges, and I may say, can you write a story like this, or can you write a story about this? But it has to be from their perspective, because I just can't do that, you know. And so,
right. yeah.
and that's why I
yeah.
think so many kids like the book, because they're writing about stuff that, you know, is relatable to them, and other kids can sense that, you know, when they're reading it as well and enjoy it. And so
All
hopefully,
right.
it, you know, it really inspires, you know, them.
Okay. Well, we only got 2.5 minutes left on the show. So I'm asking Ms. J to close this out.
Boy, that went fast. Well, I'm going to go to the oldest girl. The oldest girl. If you have something positive to say to another young kid out there,
Well, some of the encouraging words I would say to other kids my age who are thinking about reading a book but they don't know what to do, one of the things I would say first is to keep writing and don't stop, because one of the issues they might have is, oh, my writing's not good enough, nobody's going to want to read this. If you keep writing, you're going to get better. And eventually, you may not think that what you're writing is might not be funny enough or interesting enough or even deep enough, but everybody has different tastes, and eventually you might find that you're writing the perfect thing for a group of people that you haven't even thought about. And if you keep writing, you're going to get better and better, and eventually you're going to write something that everybody's going to love and connect with. And if you keep writing and you keep, if you don't stop, that's basically what I'm trying to say, don't stop. Because if you stop, then you may regret it, because you may see yourself thinking, oh, if I kept going, if I hadn't stopped, maybe I'd be here today.
Right.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Don't stop.
And Johnny O'Brien.
I just wanted to thank Miss Patrice Smith and her daughters for coming on the show. And I wanted to let the audience know, again, I apologize for the radio station. You can hear us talking twice, you know, it's like, you know, it's very annoying. Anyway, but this is what Uplifting Communities Talk Show is all about. It's getting people that's doing positive things in there to come on this platform and let the world know what's going on. With that said, back to you, Ms. Jake.
Well,
I thank you, audience, for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us.
You're welcome, baby.